about prayer and forgiveness, about not judging others and avoiding anger, about learning to put our trust in God and let go of our anxieties. At the very end of this set of teachings, he tells a parable which reflects his occupation as a carpenter. He says, "The person who hears these words and teachings of mine and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on rock. So when the rains fall and the floods come and winds blow and beat against that house, it will not fall. Why? Obviously, because its foundation has been established on material that has enduring strength. On the other hand, the person who hears these words and teachings of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who builds his house on sand. So when the rains fall and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on that house, it will fall. Why? Because its foundation is built on weak material that easily shifts and washes out under pressure." So with no explanation necessary whatsoever, I should just close up my sermon notes and sit down. We all understand what this sermon or what this parable is about, right? Our lives are like this too. If we build our life upon a good foundation, then when the storms of life come, the core of our life will remain intact. We will possess, I think what Jesus is saying here, is that we will possess what St. Paul calls the peace that passes all understanding, a confidence and an assurance of God's care for us that sees us through all kinds of suffering and anxiety, and even through death. If, on the other hand, we build our life on a poor foundation, when the storms of life inevitably come, and they will, they do for all of us, then insecurity and fear and anxiety can literally swallow us up and drown us in despair. I imagine that we can all think of people we know who have endured unbelievable trials in life and have done so without becoming bitter, have done so without dwelling on questions like, why me? Have done so without losing their sense of gratitude for all the blessings of life. It doesn't mean they don't suffer, but it doesn't undo them. We all know people like that, who seem to have a core of strength that is truly unshakable. And I imagine we can also all think of people we have known who always seem to be burdened with problems. People who will make a problem to worry about, even when one hasn't come their way on its own. People who seem to never recover from the losses in their lives, so that they just keep sinking lower and lower. So I think what Jesus is suggesting here is that the difference between these two lives is the foundation upon which they've been built. And we know intuitively that things need a good foundation to last. We live in Southern California. How could we not know this, right? Every time we get a heavy rain, we all watch the hillsides for which house is going to come sliding down and hope it's not our own. We drive through Portuguese Bend and watch the land shift toward the sea. I swear you can see it happening day by day. But some houses are withstanding that slow shift better than others, right? Those that were built on strong foundations, and those whose owners continue to shore up those foundations time and again, the ones who are watchful, keeping an eye, doing tweaks here and there to make sure it's strong. Those are the ones that are withstanding it the best. So what is that good foundation according to this parable that Jesus teaches? It is seen in those who hear and do the teachings of Jesus. those who not only hear but actually put into practice the spiritual and moral values that Jesus has been describing in chapters 5 through 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. So it might behoove us to take out our Bibles this week and to take a look at chapters 5 through 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. It'll take you all of 10 minutes to read if you read it all in one clip. But I actually encourage you, maybe spend the week taking it out every day and taking it bit by bit and just savoring it. Those words are pearls of wisdom. They are like onions that you peel back, and it gets tastier and tastier the deeper you get into it. The critical difference that Jesus is pointing out is between hearing and either not following these teachings at all, or perhaps only in part, on one hand, and or hearing and practicing what we've heard. If you've been having medical problems and you go to the doctor, you might hear that you're headed for heart disease and diabetes if you don't change your diet, start getting some exercise, stop smoking. Your doctor could be the best cardiologist in the world, and if you don't follow what he or she tells you to do, what's going to happen? Or if you only follow part of what your doctor tells you to do, you quit smoking but you don't change your diet and you don't get any exercise. We all know half measures don't even always produce half results. There's a ringing and an echo. Is there a way we could get that down? Thank you. Jesus is telling us that this is how it is with our spiritual lives too. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's been teaching about life in his kingdom, about how a blessed life is ruled by prayer and kindness and forgiveness and this practice of trust in God. He's been giving us a blueprint for a way of life. And he concludes his teaching with this parable that says that the wisdom is in the doing this. It's in the follow-through. The wisdom is to be had in putting these things into practice and developing a discipline that will help us to do that. This is what builds us as people of faith, who can withstand the storms of life. Our roof might get torn off. If the winds get strong enough, but the house will have an integrity and a strength that sees it through. One can rebuild after almost any loss if the foundation is sound. Okay, so you may be thinking, that's great, Sarah. Great words. But what do I do, really? I can look at those three chapters in Matthew and peel back these pearls of wisdom, but I need something more concrete to practice, something I can use in my everyday life. Well, there happens to be more great wisdom in the Bible for just that. Last summer, we studied the Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles. And we looked at the earliest Christian communities, which are very often a good place to go back to. A group of people who clearly got it right. They were closest to Jesus and closest to the apostles' teaching. And so they remember what it is they did to build their community. And in Acts of the Apostles, it's very obvious that there are four key practices that are repeated in our lives together. Every time we baptize a new Christian, we repeat those to ourselves and remind ourselves that these four practices are kind of foundational to being Christian. Acts tells us that the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The apostles' teaching, Scripture. So we have to ask ourselves, are we spending time with it? Are we reflecting on it, reading it? It takes time to peel open those onions and to get to the core. Is the only scripture we're reading or hearing what we hear read on Sunday mornings when we come to church? If it is, we have some room to grow. Scripture has a way of catapulting us beyond the smaller concerns of our lives, of putting those concerns in perspective, and of forcing us to look out beyond ourselves. And so a steady diet of reading Scripture is going to help us develop the kind of strength we need to not get swallowed by our concerns. Fellowship. The fellowship that the Bible talks about isn't just the kind of fellowship where we stand around with our dear friends and drink a glass of wine and have a plate of hors d'oeuvres. We've had a lot of that this weekend, and it's been wonderful. And there's a time and a place for that. We all love that. But Christian fellowship has at its core the idea that you have friends who edify each other, who ask each other questions of faith, who build each other up, sharpen each other with questions about, what are you doing in your life? How are you living out this faith that you have? Challenge us when we sink into anxiety to read our Bibles, to talk to one another, to pray. So Christian fellowship is fellowship that edifies, that actually reaches beyond the superfluous into the deeper places of our lives and helps us to grow. Are you doing that? Are you engaged in friendship like that? Good thing to think about. The third thing the Bible tells us is breaking of the bread, that we should engage regularly in the breaking of bread, in Eucharist, in worship. Mike has a great, my husband has a great way of talking about this, and he actually says this about sermons, which gives me great relief. He said, you know, sermons are weekly sermons, and weekly worship is this way. It's like a steady diet of food. Not every meal is fantastic. Not every meal is gourmet. But every meal has nutrients and nourishment for our body. Every week, just about every week, we come and there's some snippet to take away, something that touches us, a chord of music, a phrase from the liturgy that reaches in and washes over us and gives us a new perspective and helps us think about that all week. And on any given Sunday, you may not take anything away, but the next week you will. So it's like a steady diet, and if we go without meals, because there's other things to do on Sunday morning, we're missing that weekly infusion of coming into the presence of God and being shaped by that. The fourth thing is the prayers. And here's where the rubber really meets the road in a Christian individual life. Do we move beyond in our prayer life? Do we move beyond basic just acknowledgement of God's existence? Do we actually turn our lives in trust over to God? Do we invite God into our decision making when we're trying to figure out how to spend our money, when we're making our calendars up, and when we're talking with our kids about important issues, when we're dealing with crises at work or friendships that are struggling? Do we pray about those things and actually ask God to guide us? And do we do it out of thanksgiving and joy even when we don't have any struggle going on at the moment? We have 112 waking hours a week in this life. Think about how many of those hours are spent on any four of those disciplines or all four together. If only one or two hours a week are spent on that, I can't make for a very strong foundation. We spend more time watching TV or playing video games than we do cultivating sometimes a real, live, living relationship with God. That's a special temptation for me right now that the playoffs are on. Very tempting to watch more TV than it is to pray. It's not out of legalism, now that I've worked you all up into a good guilt froth, thinking about how much we don't do these things that Jesus has invited us to do. We have to remember that it's not out of legalism that Jesus encourages us to follow this path to follow his teaching in all of its subtle parts and applications. It's not out of legalism that a cardiologist wants you to follow the whole treatment plan. It's out of a desire for your health. Jesus and your cardiologist push you to do these things because there's health to be found in doing all of it. Now, nor is this a parable that calls us to perfection, to the idea that somehow we can miraculously and completely follow all of Jesus' teachings all the time. Jesus is not calling us to superhuman perfectionism, so you can check your guilt at the door. The point is not to get into a place where we're repeatedly condemning ourselves for falling short of these practices. He's simply using this parable as an image to encourage us, a way that we can intuitively understand that there's a spiritual wisdom and a maturity to be had by really trying to take these things in and put them into practice in our lives. In our world today, we are more short of time than we have ever been in the history of humanity. We feel the press of time more acutely. And when you feel that, when you're in that situation, you're always going to take shortcuts. We're all going to cheat somewhere. I want you to think back on those people who remind you of the strong foundation, those who have that kind of peace, and who you have seen withstand strong storms in their lives. They've gotten there by practice. Some of it is gift, but a lot of it is practice. And those who are burdened by their problems have gotten there by practice too. So what is it that you want to practice? What is it that you want for your life? Do you want that peace that passes understanding? Do you want that strength that's going to withstand all storms? Then practice what Jesus preaches. Amen.